Hello and welcome to episode 421 of Awards Daily's Water Cooler Podcast. I'm your host, Clarence Moy, and I'm joined by the other two M's. So M's, let's go around the cooler and tell the listeners who you are and where they can find you on the internet. Now, Megan, we'll start with you this week, but from what I have learned from the idol, you are likely masturbating at the moment, so we can wait a minute until you're ready.
And I'm ready. I'm Megan McLaughlin. You can find me on Twitter at HeyDudeMeg.
And Joey, I know you're always doing that. So go ahead.
Yeah, hi, I'm Joey Moser. I'm fapping as we speak. you can find me on Twitter at JoeyMoser83.
And again, I'm Clarence Moy. You can find me on Twitter at Clarence Moy. Hey, guys.
Hey, how are you?
I'm all right. I hope you both are.
Hanging in there on a Monday.
Yeah, well, you know, after the high highs of last Sunday's Succession, and then what is my new obsession? Oh, I can tell you what it's not going to be, but we'll get to that in a second. But before we get to that, I did want to ask, have you guys been following any of the press around Apple's revelation of their VR headset today?
No, but I saw people talking about it.
I saw the price.
Price is quite high. But it's the whole thing is really, I mean, I my kids have Oculus headsets and I have put them on for maybe 15 minutes and they were really boring and I don't think there was any good content for it. So, you know, you have to imagine that Apple will do a better job. I don't know that it justifies a $3,500 price tag, but.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah. But it reminds me of, now I don't know if either of you have seen the movie Ready Player One, but I've read the book. Now, Joey, you saw the movie, I'm sure. Megan, did you?
I didn't actually, but I had wanted to.
So the book Ready Player One dives into a little bit more of a futuristic world, which is probably not too far off from our own, where the climate and terrorism and things like that have made real world uninhabitable or undesirable. And so everybody flees online to go to this virtual reality where they can do whatever they want. Like apparently, according to this author, go into war games or, you know, the movie War Games or, you know, go into all sorts of 80s nostalgia. But one thing that was reminds me of this announcement today was the fact that those who had money had a better experience in this online world. And it just, you know, it just feels very creepy that all of a sudden you look at go back and look at some of the presentation, you'll see where it's like they're selling a new world. They're selling this idea of you can watch movies, sporting events, you can relive concerts, you can go to theme parks like Disney, and it's like you're there because they, you know, it puts you into the action. Like, it remains to be seen how much that actually does that, but it's really starting to creep me out. And maybe I'm just getting too old, but it's starting to creep me out at how life, you can see life progressing to an online space like that.
That is creepy. I just think it's funny that this VR thing is coming out right as I Think You Should Leave came out. And there's a sketch where Tim Robinson's character's in this game show and he has to put on a VR thing and he quits breathing because he has like another existential type of crisis where he's like, how do our bodies move? Like, he thought that he had a different body in the VR simulation and he wasn't sure how to breathe in it. So I know I've seen that meme pop up a lot today and I thought that was really funny.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see, you know, if they end up coming up with, you know, this is the Pro, and if you speak Apple pricing terms, the Pro is always the most expensive thing that they put out. So we'll see if they come out with a cheaper model. We'll see how people react to it. And it doesn't come out until the beginning of next year. And, you know, I'm attracted and repulsed by it, I think, personally. But like, there's a part of me that's like, God, this, you know, watching a movie and being able to, you know, not be in the movie, but, you know, be around the characters in front of you, that would be really cool. And, you know, I don't know. I can't say that I wouldn't want to maybe relive the Eras Tour, but at home and not, you know, around a bunch of people. But then I realize I'm playing into the very thing that I'm preaching against, which is, you know, human interactions and interactions with the real world. So I don't know. We'll see. Yeah, I have all kinds of.
Do you want to pay me and Megan $3,500 each to just blast Taylor Swift music and we'll just push you?
No, that's called living in my house with my daughter.
Because we can do that. We can do that. I mean, we can have that arranged.
Anyway. All right. Enough about that. So our main topic this week is to revisit or to review, pardon me, the new HBO TV series, The Idol, which was created by Sam Levinson and The Weeknd, and I'm saying The Weeknd because I can't pronounce his last name. Abel.
Is it Tesfaye?
Yeah. Anyway.
Tesfaye.
Sure. The Weeknd, essentially, which is basically a what I'll call a frank and overly sexual look at a young pop icon played by Lily Rose Depp. Who is both struggling to recover from the death of her mother, and the growing expectations on her paused music career. And then The Weeknd plays Tedros, a club owner who comes into her life and either wants to screw her or, I'm sorry, I guess I should say fuck. Wants to fuck her or wants to make her a bigger star because he says she doesn't know how she can't know how to sing because she doesn't know how to fuck. I don't know.
Give that 50 minutes and check that off his list. So.
Yeah. I feel like The Weeknd is like living out his Christian Grey fantasies. Did you feel a little bit of like that at all, Joey?
No, it's just bad. No, you know that. No, because you know what it is? Him putting that red hood on her. That's literally a scene from Copycat where he puts a plastic bag over a woman's face and she can't breathe. So he takes a scalpel and puts it in her mouth and cuts open a hole and is like, there, no, you can breathe. But this one goes, there, no, you can fuck. It's like, shut the fuck up.
It's also Little Red Riding Hood.
Oh.
And he's the big bad wolf.
Tedros means wolf in Latin. I'm kidding. I made that up.
I thought you would be. I was like, wow, Megan, you're brilliant.
Can I tell you my stupid dad joke that I thought 10 minutes into the show?
Please.
Yes.
The Weeknd is so bad in this show. He makes The Idol feel like a Monday. Fucking kill me.
Oh my God. Wow. I'm sad for you.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not sad for you because I'm not watching The Idol. So
I'm going to keep watching, but we can talk more about that.
Yeah. So let's get into our review. So that's what it's about. I will say one nice thing about it. I thought the opening scenes were actually not horrible. Because those scenes happen before The Weeknd shows up and starts to act.
Yes.
I mean, it's all over the top, and it's kind of over the top in a, imagine if they took Showgirls and removed any ounce or attempt at humor from Showgirls, which I do believe that, you know, it's like if Elizabeth Berkley were starring in and playing all the roles in Showgirls, that is what this feels like. I mean, there's an attempt at being urgent and hip, but it's also incredibly dated because I really don't feel like pop stars today act like that anymore. I mean, I'm thinking Christina Aguilera back in the Dirty phase. This is what this reminds me of, you know, the Dirty phase of her career where she was like, you know,
you're absolutely right. Because they even say, compare her to Britney at one point. And I'm like, well, that was maybe scary. Because of the... maybe
slave
because,
for you with the sex, you know, the sex snake.
And I think it was also because of her mental illness. I want to say that they say something about that and could say something like Britney and Jocelyn, which I'm still kind of jostling with that name a little bit as a pop star name. I don't know. I feel like it does feel dated in that way that pop stars, I don't know anybody like Britney Spears or Christina, like what, and this is kind of comparing that to this character to that. And I don't think it fits the time period.
No. In fact, I would argue that female pop stars today are much more confessional. They don't just sit there and sing songs about, you know, throw money at me and fuck me, blah, blah, blah. It's more, I dated this guy and he's a shithead and he did a terrible thing and now I drive by his house every day. You know, that's the kind of stuff. It's the driver's licensee part of the pop canon. That is the most prevalent today. I mean, I don't listen to all pop music, maybe there are artists out there who do this very kind of thing, but it just feels very, very dated to me. But I did like I'll use like with an asterisk. I did not hate the opening because you have a bunch of talented actors doing silly things, which I thought was kind of entertaining. Jane Addams, I think, is fun in this role. I cannot imagine Eli Roth performing anal on Jane Addams, even if it was 20 years ago.
Oh my God, yeah.
But Dan Levy looks like he's in a different show. He's just walking around going, I just don't believe this. What am I doing here? that's his entire performance. I have no idea what Hank Azaria is doing.
Did they give him an accent? Haven't we learned our lesson with Hank Azaria and accents? Like, I was kind of like, what are they doing? What are they doing?
It took me a long time to figure out whether or not that was Rachel Sennott as her best friend. From Shiva Baby. I thought the first 15, 20 minutes wasn't horrible. I mean, it wasn't good, but it wasn't as bad as what
it was after. Fine. I agree. Like if I had a chart of where my interest drops, it's when she gets to the club and meets the Weeknd, which is or Tedros Wolf.
when she gets to the club and they're blasting the latest pop hit, Like a Virgin, Like a Prayer,
right?
Like a Prayer, from 1989.
That was so bizarre. Like,
and it wasn't even like a remix of Like a Prayer. It was the actual song. I mean, it was pretty much the full song, right? I mean, it wasn't like some souped-up version.
Although I felt like when they played it, it was almost like, oh, we haven't heard this in a while type of like the way the reaction was on the dance floor. But it was just weird because I couldn't tell what was going on between them. I was like, okay, I'm losing interest, but I don't know. Clearly they like each other, but I don't know. I didn't quite understand who he was and the way he was introduced. It was weird, I thought.
But Joey, why don't you tell us what you thought of everything once we see The Weeknd?
I will go back and say that I agree that I actually laughed at a couple of the lines. I couldn't think about it. I was like, is Sam Levinson trying to do like a horny version of Shortcuts for a hot second? I don't know. But I think I was just really kind of I don't like it. I think it's just trying so hard. And I think that's really, that's a put off for me. But
turn off, Joey.
Oh my God, I get it. It's so sexy. Ice Cube on her pussy. Like, Jesus Christ. But like, I don't know. She's like, I was also just like, can you stop smoking everywhere? Like, stop. Don't light up. Get it? She's subversive. She's bad. She's
okay, Jenna Ortega's mom over there.
I know. She's like, God, bitch. But it's so after she meets him, I don't know. I don't know if they're trying to do like Britney Spears meets Kevin Federline. I don't know what they're doing with that because nothing about him says, all right, this is a good idea. And I will say, go watch the scene again when he randomly comes to her house and is just walking around, and apparently she's fine with it. It's literally the scene in Clueless when Elton comes over, but it's bad.
That's kind of true.
Like, she's just like, oh, I'm getting ready. And he's just like, oh, hey, what's up? And they're like,
drinking vodka, and literally the dialogue, you know, the dialogue from Clueless was like, he's like, we can have some wine. He's like, no, you know how wine makes people want to feel all sexy? And she's like, but that's okay. He's like, hey, I have this vodka. And she's like, oh my God. Oh God. Oh, it's so naughty. It's just like, so it's, I don't get it. I'm sorry. I was intrigued by a lot of the stuff first. I did send Megan a message and I said, why isn't the show just about Jane Addams? And then she said, or no one.
Well, I wonder why it's not in the point of view of Jocelyn. Like, especially since I feel like for so long we've criticized the way we idolize people like Britney, and you know, we've really, you know, that's something we talk about a lot. And like, well, why don't we get it from her point of view, that like from the idol's point of view? Or is he the idol? I don't know. I just felt like it was missing some sort of focus. Entry point. Yeah, it was missing an entry point. Like, who is, are we the publicists? Are we her? Are we, I just didn't quite understand the focus, I guess.
Yeah,
it's
kind of all over the place. There is no real focus. It's like an omniscient third party voyeur kind of thing. But they're going to have to get better at their, I actually didn't even see who directed this, but they're going to have to get better.
It's Sam Levinson.
It's Sam Levinson. Okay. Oh, so yeah. He directed the whole thing. The shots that he, and I'm getting a little technical here, but the shots that he sets up at the house where people are watching other people and everybody's watching her, they were all just kind of a mess. Like and it's hard to describe it. There's no sense of cohesion there. Maybe it needed to be from her perspective. Maybe that's why. Maybe if it was from her perspective, then you could sort of feel like she's constantly looking up at everybody and they're just all kind of just like laughing and waving at her. And I don't know. I just thought those scenes were like cinematically a mess.
I think they're confusing. I was confused by what was going on at the club. Like, I think at one point they meet, but then it goes back to him before they met. I was confused by that. Like, I don't know. I didn't quite, the whole club thing was not like the meet cute you're looking for, I guess. But I mean, obviously I don't think this is that kind of story, but you don't even get a spark from them. And I feel like you should.
Agreed. And what's going on with her, with the character that Rachel Sennott plays, Leia? What's going on with her looking for her, being so worried about her at the club? And then one guy comes by and he goes, you want to dance? And she's like, okay. And then she just dances. And then you don't see them leave. You don't know what happens after that. Like, or maybe you do. And I just kind of fast forward through that part. But, I don't know. I had to get there. I had to get to the part where she becomes so turned on by the weekend wearing a rat tail that she has to run home because she's been interrupted by Leia. And because they were going to have sex in the bathroom, she had to run home and masturbate immediately and choke herself.
Yeah, I didn't catch that she was choking herself.
I mean, you can tell that's how you know it was directed by a straight white dude, because a girl being choked. I don't know. I don't know. There's something about maybe they explain it later, but I feel like with a meeting like that and have like that's the first time they meet. We see everything between them. I feel like it's transparent enough that we should see, or we should catch on as to the allure or the mystery of him. Is it like the way he talks to her? I don't know, but I think that is key for making people to like really be excited to dive in more. And I feel like people are just more excited to see how much of a mess it is. Because like, there is some interesting stuff about like, we want to talk about like, and it's not original, like superficiality of the industry and you know, how we look at women, blah, blah, blah. But it's also just like, okay.
But it I think it wants to set out satirizing and calling out those stereotypes and those expectations that we put on pop stars. But then I think it supports them and it doesn't subvert them at all. It takes her, to your point, Megan, it takes the Jocelyn character, which I've seen it spelled different ways. It's not Jocelyn, J-O-C. I think it's J-O-S-L-Y-N.
Oh, okay.
But I've seen it spelled different ways, so I don't know. But it takes her and it makes her just the object of everybody's gazing without any kind of authority or agency at all. Like, are they trying to satirize it, or are they just telling us this is how it's going to be? You know what I'm saying? It's very confused to me.
Yeah, because I feel like she doesn't seem, maybe that's the point, is she doesn't seem to have any kind of, we don't know what's going on with her, I feel like. Like, we don't know, even to the extent of that her mother passed away, but we don't really know how that's affected her. Do we know who the guy is who posted that photo of her?
No, but it has started a conversation, a national conversation.
I think she did it.
Bukak.
Yes, I heard about that. That one mother, I guess, used to always say bukkake like bullshit, and then learned what it was.
Yeah, I saw that.
Like, oh, bukkake. I did hear people say that before too.
Yeah. Yeah, she probably. I mean, you think she posted it herself? That's what you said, Joey.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought that was going to be revealed at the end of the episode, but also it's just like, I think that's an example of how, I don't know, the literalness of it. I was just like, okay, it's just sort of like, you don't have to shove a camera in my face with the picture in question. They've been talking about it for 15 minutes. If you're watching the show and you are an adult, you probably know what that is. And then all of a sudden it's just like, now we're going to show it to you. And I was just like, okay.
Oh, I didn't mind that. I actually was like,
it's not that.
I need another close up. So I had to look for it online because I'm like, I missed it.
Could you please tell me what your search history says?
No, I went on Twitter.
She's gonna have to go.
I went on Twitter.
Go,
I was like, idol. I was just looking up the idol on Twitter. I did not Google.
She's gonna need a third laptop in 2 weeks. So
I thought that was funny though, that they were like, just hit Google Images and put her name. I'm like, would that really do it? I just don't think that would. As somebody who's like always looking for the things that go viral, that just typing somebody's name doesn't always do it. Flaw in the system.
Sorry, hold on. I'm wondering if somebody changed it to, okay, no, when you search Lily Rose Depp and just that and do an image search, it does not pop up. It's just the picture.
It was on Twitter. People were talking about it.
Great.
So I think, I don't know that this would be better with a different actor, but it certainly wouldn't be worse with a different actor, because I just feel like The Weeknd just doesn't. And I'm reading in Wikipedia, and his character Tedros is supposed to be a self-help guru who leads a modern day cult with a sordid and mysterious past.
Whoa.
That did not come up in the pilot at all, did it?
I don't think so. I thought he was just a DJ.
I thought he was. Well, I thought he owned the club.
Oh, I didn't really quite understand what his role was there. Like,
if someone,
maybe both?
You know, I've been to a club in Miami where people just start talking nonsense. Like, someone's just like, what are we here to do tonight? We're here to dream. We're here to drink. We're here to fuck. I distinctly remember somebody saying that. And I was like, all right, I'm leaving. At that point, I think the Rachel Sennett character would be like, peace, I'm out. I don't care if you are my friend. There's something about the beginning that so the beginning, they're doing the photo shoot right before she even gets into the choreographed dance later. See, I think there is something interesting there about, you know, her top is slowly coming off, and then they're just like, oh my god, we have to talk about the writer and this and that. She's like, it's my body, it's my house. Like, that I think is interesting, especially if you want to even delve into like sensitivity of the industry, post Me Too, blah, you know, stuff like that. Fine. Like, that is a worthy conversation to maybe push the envelope and satirize and stuff. But then when not Weekday Man pops up, Tedros the Wolf. it's just like, oh, okay.
Megan, you said you were going to continue with this.
Yes, I will, because I feel like it's a summer series everybody's going to be talking about. And I didn't hate it. I feel like it's hard to judge a pilot. And I did hear they saw two episodes. So I would like to give it a couple episodes to see how I feel about it. But it's not the worst thing I've ever seen. And there's stuff that's in, I mean, I know sometimes you just want to turn your mind off and watch something. And I feel like that show could do this. This show could do that for me.
Can I ask you a serious question?
Yeah.
Opposed to both of you. Would you rather watch this, like, worst circumstances, there's no other show in the world you had to watch from beginning to end in the summer, you have no air conditioning, and the only way out to get back all your stuff is either to watch all of The Idol or all of Vinyl?
Oh.
Because I was wondering, I was just like, is there a correlation between a big HBO show ending and then another one, you know, starting, like Succession, and then this? I feel like at this point HBO was just like, let's do it, all right, release it, already go. Okay, good, we go. Because
I'm thinking of the building falling on poor what's his name in Vinyl, how the building fell on him in the pilot. But continue, go ahead.
No, but like that was on, like, it only aired it was one season. It started and ended in 2016. There wasn't really anything that ended directly in front of it, I don't think, unless like it obviously wasn't Looking, it wasn't Togetherness, it wasn't something else ended in 2016 that I can't remember, but yeah, I was trying to
it had a little more like clout behind, like, this one was already riddled with like drama. I feel like with Vinyl, we were like, they really hyped it up as like the next, you know,
yeah,
the next big thing. And it was 10 episodes as opposed to 6 for the Idol.
It came from Scorsese.
That's true too. Yeah, that's right.
And I mean, it wasn't panned. Like, The Idol was getting like 20 on Rotten Tomatoes.
It's down to 4.
It's down to 4?
Idol, hold on, hold on. The Idol, Rotten Tomatoes is at, oh no, it's up to 28. It went up.
Okay.
At one point it was at 6%.
Wow. And the audience score has gone up. It is now at 63. It was in the 50s. So some people like it.
I mean, it's like one of those just fun, like, let's see what happens. It could be a hot mess. It's a hot mess of a show, which I don't have any problem watching stuff like that and giving it more than an episode.
Well, it's coming out at on the 1st of June, which is like the farthest thing away from the Emmy voting window for the 2024. So,
but I was listening to the Award Circuit podcast, Variety's podcast, and they were saying that, well, Clayton said that this show would be eligible, you know, for next year, but that it might be like an orphan show because it doesn't have enough episodes to be a limited series or a drama or something, because it has 6 episodes.
It has 6.
Yeah, for it to be a limited series or to be a drama?
For a drama series.
Okay, so then but it doesn't matter about limited series, right?
I don't think that matters.
It's not going to be a limited series. Okay. It's supposed to be.
It's a drama.
Yeah.
Oh, so then it really will be nominated for the thing because it's not eligible for anything.
It would be eligible for a drama series. If the rules of next year are the same as this year, you have to air 6 episodes. You have to air at least, 6 episodes in the voting window.
Oh, I thought there had to be like a certain number of episodes period for the show to be eligible. Like,
no, I think it has to, I was worried that like the other two, technically wasn't going to be eligible because before the deadline, the way that it was originally scheduled, like the other two, the 6th episode was going to air the day after the voting window, the eligibility window closed, but they bumped episode 6 to like the previous day, so it counted.
So I don't think there's a minimum number for a drama series, but let me, I can check the rules for this year.
It's, I mean, it's six. You have to have six.
It's six.
Yeah. And it has six, but no, I mean, it doesn't matter. Nobody's going to be paying any attention to this in 6 months. Unless, you know, somehow the Golden Globes say it's the best new drama.
The Golden Globes are totally going to nominate her for best actress.
No, they're not.
Yeah.
Totally.
They've changed.
I would say, let me go back. The old Golden Globes would nominate her for best actor.
They absolutely would. Yes. But there was one other thing that I saw as I was scrolling through this. I don't know. I lost it. Anyway, well, we'll have to see. I mean, I don't know. We'll see if I might watch another episode. Ooh, Elizabeth Berkley's in it.
What? Really?
She's an upcoming, she's listed on Wikipedia as an upcoming guest star.
Oh, God damn it.
Joey's speaking. Back in.
No, the thing is, like, I wonder.
Anne Heche is in it.
I know. It's like one of her last projects.
This cast is insane. Literally every time that somebody else popped on screen, me or Zach would scream. Like, oh, so-and-so. I was like, Hari Neff, Jane Addams, Troy Sivan. And then, like, when somebody else walked on screen, Jason was like, that guy!
Wouldn't it be amazing if Elizabeth Berkley was playing Nomi Malone?
And it exists in that universe?
Yes.
That would be amazing.
I would absolutely. I'd be like, okay. Need to bring her on as a recurring guest star.
It's such a weird show.
It is a weird show. And the one of the weirdest things about it, you know, even weirder, I think, than the closing sequence where he covers her face with the red dress and cuts a hole in it and tries to choke her, was the fact that they showed clips of Basic Instinct.
Right.
I mean, I don't know. Did that feel weird to you guys too? I mean, and then all of a sudden I was wondering, is somebody going to die?
I feel like they're trying to say something about the femme fatale and women and the female gaze and stuff, but I'm not entirely sure what that is yet.
But she's not a femme fatale because she's not, femme fatales are usually in control.
That's true.
Although it's interesting when she's by herself though, she's watching Basic Instinct, and that has like a classic 90s femme fatale, and she gets excited about when Madonna, a woman who is completely misunderstood and, you know, is deemed a controversial figure, when her song comes on, one of her most controversial songs in the 90s comes on, she gets really excited and runs out onto the dance floor.
Yeah.
And of course,
so maybe, yeah.
This being a Sam Levinson project, as they're watching Basic Instinct, Rachel Senna and Lily Rose Depp hold hands, and you know there has been some lesbian action there at some point.
Oh, you think that's
I'm kidding.
Oh.
That's what they want you to think, though. They want you
to think, yeah, I'm sure.
You know, girls just can't be friends without being lovers, too.
Were they hating each other? Well, there was, Megan sent me, like, a screenshot of the show, and I will say that the first comment from somebody, I don't know if it's a man or a woman, or I don't know what their gender identity is or anything, he says, is this show good? I see nutted on women and I'm tuned in. IDK. Great.
Oh my God.
Wow. So I want to know from you both if the show showed an ounce of, I don't want to say who she was, like, sort of, okay, so they compare her to Britney Spears. Like, a character compares her to Britney Spears, and like the way the media tore her down. Do you think if they showed this character, Jocelyn, which I'm sorry is a horrible name, Jocelyn.
We just lost all our Jocelyn fans.
Sorry. No, I'm not saying like Jocelyn, like it's so, it's like, I don't know.
It's not a pop star name.
Although I think Megan would be a much better pop star name than Jocelyn.
Jocelyn.
Really? See, I could see Jocelyn being more of a pop star name than Megan. But.
No, because you could like do like all kinds of weird dances like a robot, you know, swinging your arms and, you know,
Jocelyn's can't do that.
No.
No.
No, but I wonder if they showed anything from like before, like her fall from grace. Do you think people would be more interested outwardly than, you know?
Yes.
We only see because I've like, I feel like I would be. I was like, oh, I wonder how she got to this point.
Right.
I see just like, not even, I don't even need a scene. Like, give me a flashback, give me a picture on a mantle, give me something.
Or at
I agree. I need to see. Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead. I was just going to say, I need to see something to do with her mother. Like,
yes, I at least directly refer to the fact that her mother has died and not just like vague allusions to it.
Yeah.
I had to read some article that told me, you know, that she had died. And I'm like, oh. Okay.
They mentioned it like briefly in the beginning, I think. And I don't know if they mention it again.
Okay. Well, I just kept hearing
but it's, say, yeah, I'm with you.
Did your mother live here? And I'm like, yeah. Not talking.
When, I kind of wish she would just be like, yeah, she still does. Like, I kind of wish she's upstairs.
It's a mess. It's a giant mess. Anyway, anything else we want to say about the idol?
Kill it.
No, that's, I will keep like watching and I'll report back.
I mean, I'll watch one more episode.
Yeah. Okay. You're just waiting for Elizabeth Berkley. Got it. All right. Yeah. Let's jump to the flash forward to the media we're most anticipating in the upcoming week. And Joey, why don't you go first?
Oh, goodness.
What?
I am like super behind on movies and I'm viewing running out to see movies as like an escape from typing up interviews on my computer all week. So Sanctuary is here with Margot Qualley and Christopher Abbott. I could not get a ticket to it when I wanted to go see it at TIFF. So I guess I'll go see that. And then there's a foreign film called Plan 75 about Japan in a dystopian future where a programming encourages senior citizens to like self-euthanize. I think that was... maybe it was Japan's entry for the Oscars this past year. So yeah, just trying to scurry out of the house and not worry too much about interviews. I will say the falling out of this last week's Drag Race, I'm sort of curious to how this might be the first season of All Stars. And I'm like, okay, great. That's all. That's it.
Megan?
So I am watching Blackbird on Apple TV and I'm about halfway through. Have you watched it?
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah. I loved it.
Okay. I think I'm about halfway through.
And I hate it.
No, I don't hate it at all. I actually, it gets better as it goes along. I think once you're introduced to Paul Walter Hauser's character, you're like,
it's so scary.
He's so scary and he's so like, somehow you care about him too, but then you're also frightened of him. And Taron Egerton's really good in it too. So I've been watching that, trying to catch up with that. I'm still reading Tom Cruise's biography by Andrew Morton, listening to it. And I'm also reading the Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo. I think that's the name. I'm reading that before I go to bed every night. So two books. I would like to see Past Lives, but I don't know when that's coming here or if that's coming here. Everybody should go watch I Think You Should Leave on Netflix because it's really funny. And, I just keep watching that over and over again too. Any minute that I get to watch something that's funny, and that's about it.
Let's see. I have been invited to a screening of Elemental, which is the farthest thing from the idol that you can possibly get this week. So I will be taking my family to see that. And I don't really have anything else that I'm looking forward to because it's crunch time. I got to do all these interviews and write them all up and publish all the videos and all your videos. And so that's all I have time to do.
Yeah, I'm just sending you a lot of emails.
Yes, I know. I just got email raped by you. So thank you, Joey.
Oh my God.
I was going to send them all at once. And then I was just like, oh, he would kill me. So I was like, I'll send them in spurts. So this was like the first four.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I'll try to go ahead and knock those out.
Sorry.
All right. Very good. So does that cover it?
Yeah.
All right, let's get the hell out of here. So we are the 3M's contributors, Joey Moser, Megan McLaughlin, and me, Clarence Moy, thanking you for joining us, asking you to remember to rate us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you find us, and wishing you a very pleasant tomorrow.